bearing the greatest burden. As we begin this morning, I want to ask you a very important question. It's actually my Roman numeral 1 in my notes. What is the heaviest burden you've ever carried? Wow. What is the heaviest burden you have ever carried? There's some folks in this room this morning who are carrying heavy burdens. Most of us, no doubt, would have to stop and think about that for just a few moments. Perhaps you missed the greatest opportunity of your life because of a bad decision you made one day. And you would say, that was the heaviest burden I've ever had to bear. Maybe a loved one left you in some way, and you just feel like you can't move on because you were so dependent upon them. I know Ralph has gone to be with the Lord, and Cheryl's here. And Cheryl's going to be able to move on because of her God. But when Ralph passed the other day, I remembered so much my mother, Cheryl, who was so dependent on my daddy. And she said to me when he passed, "Son, I can't make it without him." I said, "Yes, you can." "No. Daddy did everything for me. I can't make it without him." I said, "Yes, you could. Yes, you can." And that heavy burden that she bore for all these now almost 10 years, I can't believe it's been that long. Actually, it's 9 right now, but next year it'll be 10. To Mom, that was a heavy burden. You may be facing today a heavy burden. It could be that you had great wealth. Maybe you played the stock market, or maybe you were a gambler early in life, and maybe you got in debt so far and you lost it all. Maybe that's your heavy burden. It may be that God called you to preach. I know a number of young men who are called to preach. And I know a number of young fellows in this building whom God has called and placed a hand and a touch to preach. And I'll be honest with you, if you don't preach after God's called you, woe to you. It will be a heavy burden. I've talked to men in my life, over the course of my life, men who did not surrender to preach. They were called but never surrendered. And they've come to me later in life and said, "It was the worst decision I ever made, to work in the factory just to make money and not to preach. It was a heavy burden for me." No matter what the burden is this morning, I hope I have your attention now, because no matter what the burden is, you haven't been truly happy ever since the time the heavy burden came. No matter. There are many kinds of weighty troubles that people bear. And no doubt in your family you know of a number of people who are facing heavy burdens and weighty problems. But there's one burden. There's one burden, ladies and gentlemen, that's heavier than all the rest. And it is the most profound, heartbreaking, destructive burden of them all. I said, Roman numeral 1, what is the heaviest burden that you have ever carried? Would you write down Roman numeral number 2, the greatest burden of all? What in the world, Pastor Lewis, is the greatest burden of all? I want you to write this down. It is our sin. The greatest burden of all is our sin. All of us have sinned. Therefore, all of us must face the consequences of our transgressions. Although we may not realize that our sins are wearing us out. Ladies and gentlemen, our sins are wearing us out. Whether we realize it or not, our sin is wearing us out and our sin is discouraging us. They are draining the life. Our sins literally drain the life out of us. You can watch folks who get into sin. You can watch folks who live a life of permissiveness. You can see the color leaving their face. You can see their skin wrinkling more than what's normal. You can see what alcohol does. You can see what cigarette smoke does. You can see what permissive lifestyle does. You can see the disease that happens. Sin is wearing us out. Sin is discouraging us. Sin is making us look pale, sickly. It's a heavy burden. It drains the life from us. When we continue to live with such heaviness of soul and spirit, it literally destroys our bodies. It devastates our souls. It fragments our thinking. Sin does that. However, those are the least of the consequences. When we consider that everyone must give an account of himself or herself to God, those things that I just mentioned are the least of the consequences. There are also eternal penalties for our iniquities. The heaviest burden that you will ever face in your life, ladies and gentlemen, is your sin. Let me give you four eternal consequences. The first consequence of living without Christ is bondage. I want you to see the consequences of living without Christ. And the first one is simply just bondage. Ask most people trapped in sin. And at first they will deny the fact that they are enslaved in sin. They will first deny the fact that they are enslaved with an addiction. People who have addictions don't believe they have addictions. In our RU program, it's evident that people come in and they don't think they have addictions. They know they have a problem, but I can stop anytime. How many times have you heard people say, I can stop my sinning anytime I want? And yet they never stop. Whether it's looking at Playboy magazines or alcoholism or permissive sex or whatever goes on in their lives, they'll say to you, well, I'm not addicted. Cocaine, I'm not addicted. Marijuana, I'm not addicted. I can quit any time. And still they can't quit. Anger, frustration, oh, I've got control of my anger. And all of a sudden they don't have control. I have control of my eating. All of a sudden they don't have control. You see, there's a bondage that's so heavy when we come to the consequence of sin. We usually insist that we can stop the habit anytime we want. That's why rehabilitation places are so full and overflowing with people who someday do hit rock bottom. Before they could confess that something wasn't right in their life, they hit rock bottom. Because so many people do not want to admit, I have a problem. I'm enslaved. There is something going on that should not be going on. And then they hit rock bottom. And then they come to places like RU and say, can you help? Is there any way out? I thought about Steve Currington. I thought about 45 years of age. But I also thought about at one time in his young life, he was a real rebel. He drank and smoked and took pot and heroin. And I mean, he was the utmost of a drug addict. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, I love Steve Currington, I love the RU program, but it just really goes to show us, when you live your life and spend your life in sin, that sinful life will eat you up someday. Say what you want. Change your life as you want. If we persist and consistently live in sin, sin will one day destroy our body. And there's not much we can do about that. You know why? Because of the law of sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow. Wouldn't it be better on this side of the issue that we could preach to everybody, stay away from all that stuff, stay away from that kind of lifestyle, live for the Lord Jesus Christ, come to church, sing the song, magnify the Lord, let everybody be pleased and blessed by God. Wouldn't it be better to live that kind of a life and live a little longer and a little more blessed than to be in bondage? You see, our sin enslaves us, no matter what it is. Even if it doesn't include addictions. Therefore, one of the consequences of sin is bondage. Number two, a second consequence of living without Christ is literally separation. You hear this morning, sin separates us from God. Understand, once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're never divided or separated from God ever again. Once I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I am never divided. I am never separated from Almighty God. I'm going to get a little excited about that point this morning, and I'm going to be like Ralph said I was. I was in the hospital talking to Ralph the day before he died, and he said, "Preacher, I think you're so cute sometimes when you preach." He said, "I told my wife one day, he's like a little turkey up there." That's what he said, right, Cheryl? He told me that day. I said, "Ralph, I can't believe you called me a turkey." He said, "Sometimes you get up there and just get going like this and jumping around." He said, "You look like a little turkey." Ralph was a good man, wasn't he? Knew God. Wow. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you one more time that sin destroys and sin keeps you in bondage and sin separates you from Almighty God. Lost people continue to live apart from God as long as they reject Jesus Christ. They will always live apart from God. God hates every form of sin because He sees what it does to you. That's why God hates sin. He sees what it does to you. And God's got big plans for you. God doesn't want you to be a rebel and a reviler and a drinker and a smoker and a drug addict and all those permissive sins and all those angers and frustrations and being hyper. God doesn't want us like that. God wants us to have the best of life. He does. That's what He wants. But if a person is not spiritually minded, sometimes it doesn't seem like a big deal. However, as a believer, you'll want to do God's will and live a godly life. When a person chooses to live a godless life, he actually chooses death over life from a spiritual standpoint. If you're not serving God, you are choosing death over life, and you're knowing it's going to happen someday. It doesn't matter when it's going to happen. Without Christ, you're going to be lost forever. I said, first of all, what is the heaviest burden you've ever carried? We could list all kinds of things. But ladies and gentlemen, this morning, the heaviest burden anybody carries is sin. That greatest burden of all being sin has some consequences. Number one consequence, listen everybody, please, it will cause you to have bondage like you wouldn't believe. And I know we think like, oh, I'm not in bondage. I can stop this lifestyle anytime I want. I can change what I'm doing. No, you can't. The devil will get you in bondage. That's why there's programs all over the society trying to help people get away from their bondages. I'll tell you, the only way you can get away from those bondages is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Not only is there bondage, but there's separation. And number three, the third consequence of living without Christ is God's wrath. I don't know if I had it on the screen back there for you, but Ephesians chapter 2, Don, if you could find that very quickly so the folks could see it. If you have your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, please. I also want you to go to John chapter 3 here in just a moment. But in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3, and you hath He quickened. Look what the Scripture says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ladies and gentlemen, number three, please get this. The third consequence of living without Christ is God's wrath. People will say to me all the time, "Oh, God's not going to give me any wrath. There's nothing about that." Did you read that verse right there? Among whom also, verse number three, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. You see, the third consequence of sin is that you experience the unfettered wrath of God. Of course, many people don't think that God's judgment will ever be poured on them. And they go back to John 3:16. Put that on the screen, if you will, please. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Right? John 3:16. "That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And right away, everybody wants to cling to that verse of Scripture. "For God so loved the world that He gave." He did do that. He loves the world. He did give His Son to die, that everybody might have life. He did do that. But now let's go down to John 3:36. However, in John 3:36, it says something else. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Aren't you glad for that particular part of that verse? "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You can't say it much plainer. And it's the truth what God says. If you're not saved, one of the things that happens, one of the consequences, is you're abiding under the unfettered wrath of Almighty God. But once you're saved, once you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you do experience the great love of God. And you're not under that unfettered wrath any longer. In fact, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Been saved and born again. What a wonderful truth. But if you're not saved, if you've been playing the church game, then the wrath of God is upon you. You see, His hatred toward things that are ungodly, that's God's wrath, is going to be poured out, and if people don't rid themselves of sin, they will reap God's wrath. The threat of God's judgment should lead people to repentance. Because it is only through Christ that sin can be eliminated through one's life. How do I eliminate sin? It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The day in my office, I was talking to the cancer family, and we had such a good time. You'll need to be here at the funeral, if you could be on Wednesday morning at 10:30, to hear some of the things that Ralph said as he was headed for heaven. Now you're going to ask me, "Whoa, was all that true?" Well, as true as what Ralph said, I have no idea. He was seeing it, not me. He said suddenly, "Hey, there's my God." He didn't say our God. He didn't say, "Cheryl, yours and mine." He said, "There's my God." He took personal possession. "He's my God. There He is." You say, "Preacher, did he see?" I don't know. If he said, I guess he must have. Wow, these streets are beautiful. That's what he said. And so many other things that you need to hear on Wednesday. We're going to tape that service, by the way, just to have it around so we can say it again. There is a real hell, and there is a real heaven. Have you ever been with anybody who was dying and going to hell? I have been. Robert, it scared me to death. "Oh! Who's that coming? No, he can't take me!" I thought I'd lose it. As that person screamed and cried because somebody who was not Jesus was going to take them away. Heard one lady say, "No, no, the fire's so hot, no!" See, preacher, is that true? I don't know. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says, in hell, He lifted up His eyes being in torment. And He said, "I am tormented in this flame." I do know that. And I want you to regard the Word of God today. If you're not saved, you're carrying a heavy burden. Sin is the heaviest burden known to man. That is the heaviest burden. That is the greatest burden. Because the consequences are so heavy. Bondage. Separation. God's wrath. And number four. Go with me to Revelation chapter 20, if you will, please. And drop down to verse number 6. Brother Don, I don't think I had that on there either. But I'd like to see that on the screen. The fourth consequence of living without Christ is eternal death. See, this last consequence of sin is the most devastating because it is eternal. But verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. I like that verse. Come on, amen. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I love that particular verse. Because we're blessed to have part of that first resurrection. But now let's go down to Revelation chapter 20, a few verses down to verse 14 in your Bible. And here's what it talks about. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, that first part of that verse 20 said, blessed because we have part of God, we're blessed. But hold it, those who are not saved, those who are lost, are headed for the lake of fire. Now, why did it say, hold a minute, let me explain something to all of you. Why did it say, and death and hell were taken up and cast into the lake of fire? Let me explain that. Death, because that's where the body's at. When a man dies who does not know God, his body goes to the ground. But his spirit goes immediately to hell. The man who is saved and he dies, his body goes to the ground just like the ungodly person's body. But his spirit goes back to God who created it. So we say today, where's Ralph? Well, he's with Jesus. He's watching us. He said, you believe that? Oh, I believe that with all my heart. I do. Yes, I do. He's there. Because Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now get this, please. Everybody, make sure you understand that when a person dies who is saved, born again, his body goes to the ground, but his spirit goes back to God who created it. And he waits for that resurrection morning when the trump of God shall sound and the voice of the archangel shall be heard. And up from the ground, our bodies will rise and we'll meet our spirits in the air. It's called the rapture. And forever will be the Lord. But now, that person who dies without God, according to Scripture, his body goes to the ground, but his spirit goes to hell. Remember the story about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16? The rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he said to Abraham, I am tormented in this flame. For the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And whosoever, verse 15 of chapter 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell were taken up. Death, where the body is. Hell, where the spirit of the ungodly man is going to be reunited, joined together. Stand before the great white throne, judged, cast into the lake of fire forever. By the way, that lake of fire is the same place where the beast and the false prophet will be. And the Bible says about that lake of fire, listen everybody very, very closely, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. They'll never be burned up, but they'll be tormented forever and ever. You say, preacher, that sounds pretty gruesome. Yes, it does. That's one of the consequences. If you live without Christ, eternal death. Hell is the penalty for rejecting Christ. It's eternal separation from God, the author of life. The people choose it for themselves by not accepting God's grace. When the wicked stand before God in judgment, He's not going to weigh the good versus the bad. Quit thinking like that. If I stand at the great white throne judgment, I got all this good stuff over here, and it weighs so much better than all the bad stuff I did, and so because the good outweighs the bad, I'll be all right. No, that doesn't work like that. Oh, no. I don't know where that came from. That's not in the Bible. What happens at the great white throne judgment, God will choose the degree of punishment for every person who willingly denied Him. There's four things. I wonder if you could shout them to me. The consequences of living without Christ, there's so many of them. But the four major ones I talked about this morning are, number one, we have what? Bondage. Number two, we have separation. Number three, we have God's wrath. And number four, we have eternal death. Wow. What can be done about all that? I don't know about you, but I want to give this crowd this morning, those listening by radio, a chance to change all that. Now, that seems like to me not a very good place to go and have all that stuff there. Am I correct? Nobody wants to die and go to hell. Nobody wants to be in bondage. Nobody wants to be separated. Nobody wants to have God's wrath. Nobody. What can be done about it? How can we avoid sin's bondage? How can I avoid separation from God? How can I avoid God's wrath? How can I avoid eternal death? Well, we find the answer in Hebrews chapter 9. Let's go back there, Brother Don, on the screen, please. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, 28. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin and the salvation. We avoid the consequence of sin by simply accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because of God's love for mankind, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as a sinless sacrifice for our sins. When we turn to Him in prayer, Jesus lifts the burden of our transgression off of us and takes that burden on Himself. He eliminates the effects of sin. He became my propitiation. He died for me. He died. How in the world can we not accept that? Can we not just say, dear Jesus, I do now accept what You did for me on the cross of Calvary. I want to unload all of my sin, my guilt, all that bondage, all that stuff. I want to give all that to You. I want to trust You now. I want to live for my Savior. That's how you can solve it. Accept the Lord Jesus. One more point and I'm finished. Roman numeral 5. Christ is our sin bearer. Jesus Christ is our sin bearer. How can Jesus Christ bear our iniquity? He can do so because He is our sin bearer. Here's another verse of Scripture, Brother Don, I didn't have in there. If you could find it real quick, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I said a little bit after I'd already done my sermon on Friday. I'd prepared it. Tammy typed it all up, and then I thought I need to add some verses. Here's another verse. Look at this verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What a powerful verse. He became our sin bearer, the one who God chose to assume full responsibility for our transgressions and our condemnation. Christ offers His life as a substitute. As a substitute payment for our iniquities, therefore freeing us from the eternal penalties of sinfulness. While there may be other consequences to our sin, Jesus repairs what sin destroys. What did sin destroy? Our fellowship with God. Now I can have fellowship with my God. That's how awesome the crucifixion is. God the Father laid all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our judgment on Christ, and made it possible for us to live free if we just accept the Lord Jesus. Don't accept a religion, don't accept a denomination. It's Jesus and He alone. Amen. Wow. Stop a second. I must ask myself then, if Jesus Christ, now listen, if Jesus Christ doesn't bear my sin, how can I possibly deal with it? If he doesn't bear my sin, how can I deal with it? The reality is, I can't. And neither can you. Our only choice is to embrace Jesus Christ as our sin-bearing Savior. What a Savior. On the cross, Jesus Christ took our place. The everlasting suffering that sin intended for us was placed on Him. And He triumphed in it. No longer do we have to worry about spiritual bondage. No longer do I have to worry about separation from God. No longer do I have to worry about God's wrath. No longer do I have to worry about eternal death. Because we who have accepted Jesus Christ have been set free. I don't worry about any of those things. I've given those to God. He took my greatest burden, the burden of sin, and gave us the victory. Do you know about that victory this morning? Do you really know about that victory? Please don't sit in a church week after week after week telling yourself you're okay when you're not. It's all going to be found out sooner or later. Please accept the Lord Jesus. If you're not walking with Him in the walk that you should, why don't you come and renew yourself in Him today? Let's stand together, please, everybody.
On behalf of Pastor James Lewis and the entire Harvest Baptist Temple, we'd like to say thank you for downloading this message, and it's our prayer it's been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Would you do us just a small favor, please? Take a minute and send us an email just to let us know where in the world you're listening to this message. For example, if you live in China, just simply say, "I'm from China," and give us the title of the message you downloaded. If you'd like to give us more detail, that's fine too. We would just like to know how many people in different parts of the world we're touching through this ministry. The email address is harvest@harvestbaptisttemple.com. We won't put you on any kind of a mailing list, and we certainly won't give your email address to anybody else. Thank you for taking a minute to help us out, and thank you for downloading this message. For more information about the Harvest Baptist Temple, look us up online at considerharvest.com. Considerharvest.com. God bless you.